you mind turning the lights on?
Thanks.
I'd like to share a song of the Advent season.
We are waiting, anxiously. We are waiting.
So I walking in the sanctuary last Monday, and I find this Bible. Does somebody belong to this Bible? I think maybe is it Megan's, maybe? Clint, you want to know what thrilled me? Was to see that Megan took sermon notes. That's a good thing. In fact, I'd like to share it with you. maybe you should go eat some bagels. Were you not feeling well, Clint?
No, my stomach was
growling. Okay, all right. Be careful what you leave, friends. Oh, it's perfect as Megan, because she and I go back and forth, because we both love to eat. Do we not? That's perfect as Megan's, yeah. So Sue and I were talking about what a struggle it can be sometimes to get the family to holiday events. Like last night. So thrilled to see families here. Families, little kids. We had a ton of little kids here. But we know, because we did it, what a struggle it is. And what I was saying is I'm always so impressed, like with Becky, who doesn't have any help, but she gets her kids here, and she's here, and it just is a real blessing to me. And Sue says, well, I remember a night where I just about gave up on motherhood, because we were to go to a church thing at our old church, and she had four little ones to get ready, plus a meal to take, and I wasn't around, and she about gave up the ghost, didn't you? She was throwing things. Yeah. So I'm glad I wasn't around. But sometimes the call to really good things requires that we go through a little something. That we go through a crucible, as it were, of difficulty, or of challenge, or of maybe not doing what we want to do. And I really believe that that's the story of the Bible. And I really believe that that is what John the Baptist was called to present to people. That something amazing is coming, and it's not what you've imagined. It's not necessarily going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. And what is coming, he was saying, is a new day. First slide, Micah. I do wish we had a color printer for our programs, because that beautiful scene is the scene on your program, which looks pretty pitiful in black and white, doesn't it? That's what color brings. The ancient writer, and if you read what I wrote in the program, it's so true. 1,200 years ago, if they wrote it in the 8th century, or 800 years ago, if they wrote it in the 12th century, whatever, is a long time ago. But the things expressed are just what we feel and need. In this hymn that we're featuring, O come, Emmanuel. O come, God with us. That's what the plea is. O come, God with us. So this line of the second stanza, O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent. Advent simply means coming. Here. Dayspring. Chelsea read the words in the King James. Dayspring. What is dayspring? I love it. I want to start using it. Is it not dawn? Is it not the morning light? Is it not the beginning of a new day springing forth? And so we have God saying through the prophet Isaiah, something new is coming, a new day. Please open to Isaiah 40. And it's interesting, just as preparing to get a passel of kids ready for any kind of event, is a struggle that you've decided is worth it. That's the story of Isaiah's life. A struggle. It cost him his life. For those who don't know, he prophesied and prophesied and prophesied until the powers that be couldn't stand it anymore and they sawed him in two. But it was worth it. And Isaiah would say, and is saying, and is praising right now and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for honoring me." The first words, and we read this a few weeks ago, but it's so necessary now. Isaiah 40, comfort my people, says your God. Next slide, Micah. I can't put this into words, friends. If I thought riding a unicycle and playing bagpipes would get you to think about this, I would do it. I try. I can't do either one. So, this comfort my people straight from God to his prophet, first Isaiah, then John the Baptist, teaches us something magnificent about the day spring to come. And it's this. I want you to think about the wonders of the universe. And they are, they're just beyond our ability to comprehend, but it's so, so good and so inspirational to dive into the universe and take a look, to experience it. Be it the pollination of a flower by a bee and then honey, to how a black hole works or any of those things. It's all off the charts. Wonderful. And Jesus teaches us that everything that goes on, a sparrow falling, the hairs of your head, everything, God knows about it. The grains of sand are numbered. And his thoughts towards you are more than those grains of sand. So think about that. But in all of that, I think that what this is saying is what I've put on this slide. That all of the concerns of managing a universe are secondary to his concern for his people. Now, sometimes we feel like, God, you got to do something more to show me that you're there, that you're with me. It was kind of the conversation I had with Mac about this. He was kind of saying, we got this challenge, we got that challenge. Then he tells me the story of the snowblade. I said, what? I kind of smacked him and I said, what more do you need? That's a miracle. God is with you. And he's not going to, some millionaire isn't going to write a check for $1 million. You wouldn't want that, would you, Kent? Yeah, you would like that. Okay, all right. Okay, somebody get their checkbook out. Mickey? Not funny? No, okay. I want you to think about, if you know anything about Old Testament prophets, they often had a very, very severe word for the people, a very corrective word, a very, you had better change your ways, your thinking, word to the people. But what do we have here? We have comfort. Comfort. And then this, speak tenderly. Chelsea read the term tender mercies. Movie, right? Tender mercy. What could state the heart of God more than to say that even this thing we call his mercy, which is his willingness to not punish us according to what we deserve, but instead to be good to us. That it isn't begrudging. God's love for you and for me, because I'm a rascal with Lynn and the rest of us, we're rascals. We're not perfect. We're broken. We are not this sect of religious people that say we have it all figured out, because we don't and no one does. but we know that Jesus came and lived the perfect life and died the perfect death and rose to a perfect future. And so we cling to Him. We take all of our brokenness to that mercy. And at Christmas, when there's so much going on, and I love it, but there's so much going on, let us recognize, and I beg you to be comforted. I heard from a dear family in the church this morning, and just don't be thinking, well, who is that? Because you won't know. But they're really, really hurting. Really, really hurting. And what I want to say to them, and did say, is find comfort in Jesus this morning. I want everyone here, regardless of where you stand with God, to understand that there is comfort for you in the chaos. And the chaos might be your job, lack of job, sickness, culture, whatever. But the chaos is there. But overwhelming the chaos is God's comfort. Next slide, please, Micah. I love this. Look at verse 3. A voice cries. So it doesn't whimper, doesn't whisper. It's shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. What in the world? Well, who was this voice? It was Isaiah then, but he was saying, there's another voice coming. And Tate read the words of the father of that voice, the words of Zechariah. That voice was John the Baptist. There was a voice that came literally out of the wilderness. As it said in that passage, he lived in the wilderness. That's where he was trained by God to divest himself of earthly concerns and be invested in the coming Messiah's glory. And by the way, the coming Messiah was his cousin. Pretty remarkable. Pretty, pretty remarkable. I like this passage for this encouragement. There was spiritual, political, military, cultural opposition to Jesus' birth. And we learn of Herod's determination to wipe out every boy just so that he got this boy. So in that way, it was a struggle. But with God, it's sure. And that's what this voice is saying. This business about the hills and the valleys and the desert, I think we can say it like this. That the Lord's road in bringing this new day, this day spring, the Lord's road is straight, it's level, and it's free of obstacles. How can we say that? Well, another verse says, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. He's the omnipotent, all-powerful one. And we can oppose him, and we do. We can oppose him with all we've got. But we will someday know just how foolish that is and how foolish that was. The new day, Isaiah and John the Baptist are saying, is going to arrive without fail. He's going to travel without difficulty. And he will be right on time. And we're told that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. In the fullness of time, He's coming again. Just today on the radio, I heard all this business about the Mayan business. There's folks absolutely panicking. In the fullness of time, the Lord of the universe is going to come back in the flesh and claim His own. Why do we know that? Because He said so. And why do we believe that? Well, He said all these things that were going to happen to Him first time around, and they did. And then He rose from being dead. Not just sort of dead. All the way dead. He wasn't revived. He was resurrected. That earned Him our attention. And He says, He has the angels say, this Jesus that you just saw leave, He's coming back. Yeah. Next slide, Noah. I'm not Noah. Not Noah, would you do, Micah. Look at verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. We walked the streets last night, and some of the songs we sang had this word glory in them. And I just had this feeling that the glory of the Lord was being spread in the neighborhoods just by our singing. And I almost had a little preaching moment, which would really be strange for me to preach at a moment's notice. But I was thinking, are there angels here? Are there angels joining us? Are there demons fleeing? Who knows? But we're walking the streets singing about Jesus. And glow, Oria. We sang it. And it was cool. What is this glory? What is the day spring glory? It's His presence. It's the presence of the Lord. And I believe that this passage has an extra kick to it concerning this. Let's read this verse. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All through Isaiah, and now all through the Christmas accounts in the New Testament, what we have is revealing, revelation, information from God. And all flesh shall see it together. Friends, that is a prophecy that is yet to happen. But there is a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why do we know this? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When the Lord speaks, a universe leaps into existence. When the Lord speaks, the waters part. When the Lord speaks, a prophet is born into his barren mother. When the Lord speaks, the Holy Spirit impregnates a virgin. When the Lord speaks, the cousin prophet says, next slide. The words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus' coming out party with John. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the new day. The problem is solved. What's the problem? The problem is our brokenness. The problem is our moral ineptitude. The problem is our failure to get it. The problem is our failure to love. And God overwhelms all that. And we see it in two ways. Back to the previous slide. Is it back? Very good. Thanks, Micah. I sprung that one on you. I think that it's saying here in Isaiah, And in John the Baptist's proclamation, I want you to see Jesus in two, not just complementary, but interwoven ways. Literally seeing, because there he was, God made flesh. And so John's saying, there he is. We have not been yet afforded that. Jesus himself said, blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. You like that blessing? That's on us. Because of Thomas's mess. Okay? So John is saying, here he is. Behold him. This human being is the God of the universe. What a crazy notion. It's true. But more, and for us today here, this Christmas season, this moment, see him in your heart, in your soul. He didn't say, you got to believe everything about me to get it. He said, have just a little seed of faith and plant it and let me make it grow. Last night, and I'll close with this, last night, my favorite part of the night, except for that one casserole, was Pastor Jaime Ardiaca. Wow. When you meet some people, you say, full of the Holy Spirit, this person is so full of God that they bless me just being with them. And that's who this, and I see heads nodding because it was true. The room was full of joy. And it was full of joy because of this man's spirit being shared with us. He told the story of his conversion. And his lovely wife, Loli, was back there making faces and doing stuff. They were just cute. But he said something that I thought, that's it. That's the essence of it. He had been raised in the church in Spain, the Roman Catholic Church, which, of course, dominates in Spain. And he said he'd done everything. He was forced to go to Mass, and he'd done everything. And friends, there are, make no distinction between being raised Roman Catholic and being raised Protestant, because the same thing happens. And it's why I say when we dedicate a child, be careful that we don't inoculate our kids against true faith. Because Jaime would say he was inoculated against true faith. He just went through motions. He went through religious motions, but this is what he said. But none of it touched his heart. And then, in what I can only say was providence directing him, he every Monday would meet his love of his life, Loli. And he'd say he'd always try to get beautiful, but he was never as beautiful as she. I mean, this guy was Latin, folks. He was good at this. And he was right about that. But he said on this one particular day that in Donosti, which is San Sebastian, in Basque Country, one day a year they have a day of the book. And it's about books. And people sell books on the street. And he happened to go to a table that was selling Christian books. And he wanted to get married, and they had books in Spanish about marriage. And he was interested in that. And so he started talking to these people, three people, right? Am I right about that? There were three people. And they started talking to him about Jesus. And a seed was planted. A seed was planted. I don't have time for the whole story, but wow, what a story. And then he and Loli, over this time, they start saying, is there something more to Jesus than we've ever understood? And in fact, each of them, without the other's input, writes kind of a note or a letter or a thought about what should we do with this information. And they decide to present it to each other. in a kind of a day of revealing. And they both wrote, for our future, for our marriage, for our love, we need to know Jesus. They're right. What a beautiful thing. In a culture where if you do this and join this group, you just got weird. Okay? But they do. They start going to this church, this evangelical church. They trust Christ. They're baptized. 2 years later, well, and they get married. 2 years later, Jaime goes off to seminary. And this trip they're on right now is celebrating 25 years in ministry. And I think of how seemingly innocuous the beginning was, walking up to a table that had some books about marriage. Despise not the beginnings of small things. It's in these small things that God builds His kingdom. I want you to be comforted today by what God has done through John the Baptist, that He prepared the world for His own entrance. And what He's done through the prophets in this book who have said, prepare the way for the Lord, because He is coming again. When we sing these Christmas songs, just like the seeing with the physical and the spiritual, we're singing to the first advent and to the second advent. Except this time He's not going to come as a baby. Nope. He's going to come as the King. Let's sing.